very happy to have Dan Henson, who's president and CEO of CLL Commercial Lending and Leasing for the Americas for GE Capital. Going to get a great look at what's going on in their commercial middle market lending businesses, price, credit trends, as well as some macro commentary on what's going on in capital spending here in the U.S.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning. Now, as Steve said, I'm the head of our commercial lending and leasing operation for the Americas, so the bulk of my presentation will be focused on this particular business unit, but I want to begin with some slides on GE Capital overall. You know, I think GE Capital, as we've been saying, we have a strong and advantaged business model, perhaps more advantaged today coming out of this cycle than we went into it. We have a very strong liquidity position. A lot of folks have taken interest in our commercial paper program, and our commercial paper program today has been decreased in size by 54% or $54 billion. We currently have reduced that program to about $46 billion. Very attractive, a lot of demand in the global markets. Weighted average for maturity is still around 50 days. The average price is 6 or 7 basis points below LIBOR. And with the cash we have on hand and our backup bank lines, we have more than 2.5 times coverage, so we feel we've got a very strong liquidity position. We have very strong risk management policies and practices in our business. I'm going to share that with you with respect to the CLL business today. And a great portfolio margin story, one of the bright silver linings in the cycle that we have gone through is what has happened in our portfolio and the margins that we're originating in, so I'm going to share that with you today. We think losses have peaked in our business units. I'll share with you the performance of the CLL segment, and our real estate book, while still a choppy market, obviously, is manageable. We're supportive of regulatory reform. We're preparing for more oversight and believe we'll be able to manage through whatever comes as the legislation takes shape in Washington. And we're profitable and always have been, so we think we've got a model that provides for solid long-term value creation. Getting into a little detail about that, a few things that are different about GE Capital from other financial institutions. We're really the only wholesale FinCo model out there that looks like this today. We have a substantial origination capability. Going into the crisis, we had the largest direct origination team in financial services. We still do. About 13,500 originators across GE Capital, all focused on a specific niche. We have a lot of deep domain expertise within GE Capital, as well as domain that we can draw on from General Electric in the space of healthcare, energy, media, aircraft. That's been the key advantage for us all along, and it continues to be one today. And we're experts at collateral and asset management, and you'll see that as I describe our business operations in CLL Americas. We focus on collaterals and industries we understand, which gives us an advantage if we have to work through a situation like we've gone through the last couple of years. Risk management is very disciplined. It's a core competency in our business unit. Everything we underwrite with the philosophy that we're going to be holding it on our own balance sheet. And given the fact that we are one of the few people left standing in the wholesale FinCo model, supports that that's a core philosophy that we should stick with, and we do. We've got a very operational focus. A lot of what we do is almost factory-like in nature and how we process business. We've got scale in all of our core markets. We've taken a lot of cost out over the last couple of years, so we've been able to remain competitive. And we're match funded. We underwrite credit and collateral risk. We do not want to underwrite currency or interest rate fluctuation risk, and I'll speak to that as we go through. So we think we're well positioned to compete in today's world. Now, switch to my business unit, commercial lending and leasing for the Americas. We have here the net income profile for 2008 and 2009 and the first quarter of 2010, and you can see that obviously, from an income standpoint, we are on the rebound. I will talk to the business segments that we are in right now, but what we do is we lend against hard foreclosable assets. We are a senior secured lender. We do not do mezz. We do not chase large cap transactions. We play on Main Street, small to mid-sized companies. Our origination activities are organized by product and industry. So if we have somebody calling on a restaurant franchise, that is all they do. They're not going to call on a manufacturing company the next day. And we have a broad spread of risk. We have over 400,000 customers in our portfolio, and we process over 1 million transactions annually. And everything we do is underwritten to hold with that risk management discipline that I referenced earlier. So diving in a little deeper into the product composition, this is what we do. We're almost half equipment finance and half lending. On equipment finance, we do, obviously, industrial equipment. That's what GE Capital is known for. It's its legacy business. We do lending to corporate clients. We have a large franchise finance business. We have a very large inventory finance business that we like very much. And then we do leverage lending and asset-based loans. All of these are approached on a senior secured basis. And we have the operational capability to foreclose on the assets and exit the credit if we need to. Direct lending, these are the numbers for 2009. We issued $9 billion worth of origination in direct lending. We're considered a leader in this space. These are small to medium-sized entities, companies with EBITDA in the $10 to $500 million space. As you can see, the returns, particularly in 2009, were extraordinarily attractive given the choppiness of the market. We are considered a leader in asset-based lending, debtor in possession financing, and restructuring. We have a very disciplined approach to the hold sizes and the leverage multiples that we're willing to finance. Everything we write, we have a predetermined exit strategy for, and we have a lot of bodies associated with monitoring, auditing, and controlling the cash in these clients. We're also a leader in mid-market sponsor. We have a lot of deep relationships that have been ongoing for quite some time. We did $3 billion worth of business in that space last year at an average return on investment of 5%, so a very attractive segment. And then in healthcare, we do have a healthcare equipment business, but we also have a healthcare corporate business. That is a leader in that industry as well. We did about $4 billion, and you can see the returns going down here. Equipment, we do a lot in the equipment and dealer space. When we talk about our dealer finance business, we are lending through dealers to end users. We're considered a leader in the small ticket dealer space, both on inventory finance as well as equipment finance, and we also call directly on mid-market companies. And this is typically done in industries we understand, collaterals we understand, and we have a first lien on everything. And then we have a very large market-leading franchise business out in Arizona, one that, and I'll talk specifically about that industry and what we've got going on there. The advantage we have, I mentioned that GE Capital has 13,000 originators. CLL America has 1,200 alone. Now, this origination team is organized specifically along the product lines that I just referenced, and they would call on a very distinct set of customers. The average rep might have 1 to 200 existing clients and prospects, so it's a highly focused calling activity on a customer base that we have predetermined fit our value proposition and we want to do business with. They are local. We are not flying people from California to New York to do transactions. They're driving around in Ford Tauruses calling on the customers. Relationship is a key factor with us, and we play most of the segments we play in. We are a market leader, if not number one, then number two. Risk management, I've mentioned that. We have over 2,600 risk management professionals in CLL alone. One out of every three employees in our business unit is in our risk group, so a big focus there. The average risk leader has over 25 years of experience in what we do. They're specialists in either equipment or leverage lending. As I mentioned, we've got a very diverse portfolio and a broad spread of risk with over 400,000 customers. And we use a lot of sophisticated tools to monitor the portfolio. And if we sense that a client is getting into trouble or their cash flow is becoming constrained, we'll actually start taking a look at that or working with them up to a year or a year and a half in advance of that evidencing itself in terms of any type of payment problems. All of our activities are very focused around areas we understand. If a customer of ours wants a corporate aircraft, they're going to sit down and talk with a corporate aircraft specialist. if they want to finance office imaging equipment, the residual position that we take on that lease, and I will share with you some information on how we're performing on residuals, will be determined by somebody who does nothing but office imaging specialists. Just the way we're organized, we don't try and do everything. It's on a highly select basis. And we're known in the market for our speed and certainty of execution, which gives us a competitive advantage, as well as our creativity around structuring. We do leverage the larger GE. We've got the ability to share best practices across segments to bring the value proposition of the entire company to bear, which does differentiate us in the marketplace. We can call on other areas of GE Capital or the industrial company to provide value. And we run this more like a GE industrial business than most people think of when they think of financial services companies. We have the operating metrics, the Six Sigma discipline, the lean discipline that we use on the industrial side. We bring that to bear on the financial side as well. In fact, I spent a couple of years during my career as the Six Sigma leader for GE Capital. So the same type of approach, the same type of programs like Net Promoter Score, and a very seasoned leadership team. And so we've been able to weather the cycle better than most of our competitors and feel good about the future. So let's shift to that and share with you what we see going on in the marketplace. I think you'll find this very interesting. And in a couple of pages, I'll talk about the equipment market and then the lending market and then show you where we are on our origination so you get a sense. Broadly speaking, we do see nice growth going on in the economy. This is the capital expenditure outlook on the upper left from Global Insights. We've seen a demonstrable increase in capital expenditure starting in the fourth quarter of last year, continuing into this year. The forecast is that is to continue to grow. Generally, the numbers that our clients are telling us is in the neighborhood of low double-digit increases on capital expenditure. I think we're creeping up towards that level right now. And the while they're hedging their forecasts out a year or so, there's only so long that you can forego investing in your capital equipment. So we are seeing pent-up demand occurring. On the lower left, you have the American Trucking Association Tonnage Index, and as you can see, it troughed back in 2008, has been increasing with fits and starts throughout the period, but as of late has had a more consistent growth line, and it's up to 110, and so we are seeing some growth coming out of that, and that's a good leading economic indicator of the overall activity in the marketplace. Capacity utilization, you can see, is up to 74% in April, I think, from a low of 68. So broad growth in the, you know, not explosive, but broad and consistent. We're seeing it across all of our segments. It's almost easier to point out where it's lagging than where it is leading. You know, we still have pressure in the restaurant space, which is consumer-facing, and same-store sales, particularly for fast food and quick-serve restaurants, underwent a decline for the majority of 2009. We've recently seen some pickup, but the consumer-facing activity, I would say, is lagging the commercial activity. Transportation, while tonnage is increasing, that's still an industry that you know, that is experiencing some choppiness, as well as technology, although the overall technology numbers year-to-date are positive as well. I think 7% was the number I saw there. When you look at the equipment business, it tends to lead both going into and coming out of a recession, and this is the global research figures here, and you can see that about a year before the recession, capital expenditures started to decrease. If you take a look at the solid blue line, that is the current actual as well as estimate of where capital expenditure is going to be, and it may be lagging that red line, which is the average of the cycles, a little bit, but does look so far like it's tracking according to historical norms, although we're only halfway, four quarters out of the recession as opposed to the eight that you see on the chart here. So general growth in the CapEx area. Moving to leverage lending, I think the growth here has been more dramatic. 2009 was a very anemic year for borrowing for mid-market America, and you can see the numbers in the upper left. With steady increase in the leverage lending market, and a positive outlook for the future. We've seen steady growth in 2010. That's projected to increase. Some good things here. I'll show you margins in a second. Price has been very attractive in this marketplace in 2009. Come down a little bit as we enter 2010. Do more to normalizing, I think, than everything else, but beginning to stabilize. Structures are much more attractive. We've always played to a very tight credit screen in what we lend into in CLL, but overall in the industry, seeing higher amounts of equity, less leverage, more conservative structures, and not a lot of the things that got people into trouble during the last cycle. And the default rate itself has decreased 25% through November. So all these things lead us to believe that we are coming out of the cycle and that losses have peaked and will continue to improve as we go forward. Here's our origination, which I think you should find very interesting. Now, I mentioned we have 1,300 direct originators, so we've got a lot of pairs of feet out calling on CFOs and CEOs, and our activity levels have increased constantly over the last year. You've got the last, say, 4.5 quarters of data here, but you can see what's happened overall in proposals, the amount of activity that we currently have approved by customers and in credit for underwriting, and a backlog of almost $7 billion at this stage, which has been approved, underwritten, and waiting to fund as the transaction comes to maturity. Outlook for us right now, Vendor is our small ticket equipment platform. This is a business that has had a resurgence. I mentioned there's not a lot of people that look like us today. One of the big benefits we've had going through the cycle is 3 years ago, due to the ubiquity of liquidity, any 30-year-old who wanted to leave an established company like ourselves could go and get funding in the capital markets, hang out a shingle, and compete against us. Those days are gone, and we really don't see that crowded landscape of Me Too players relying on capital markets, and so we have an advantage there. We see a lot of growth in small ticket. We compete against captives in some of what we do, companies like John Deere Credit, and the captives that relied purely on the capital markets, many of them have decided to go back and focus on their core activity of manufacturing and selling and leaving the financing up to companies like ourselves. Some of you might have read that we outsourced the captive of Navistar, which is a trucking company this year, a very well-respected company, and we will be operating their captive for them going forward. And then our dealer activity has picked up as well. So we expect strong growth from that segment. Our healthcare business is very robust, a large increase in the amount of activity that they are seeing, along with leveraged finance. You saw the numbers for the leveraged lending market. Mid-ticket leasing and inventory finance are showing clear positive growth, but it's not dramatic. It has been continuous, and we expect them to have a good year, but perhaps a little less growth than you see on the top of this. And our fleet business is showing positive growth as well. And these are, in the Americas, what we're talking about are company automobiles. We're not talking about trucks. So if a large corporation has a fleet of vehicles for its salespeople, that's what we're financing. And we're seeing positive growth in that business as well, coming off of a weak 2009. Franchise finance in the restaurant space, we're cautious on. It's a business that we like through the cycle, but until we see some decrease in unemployment and spending on people going out to eat, we'll be cautious as to how much growth we try and drive in that business unit. But we do like the space, and we do like our partners there. So very positive commercial buildup. This is the margin story, and I mentioned the silver lining for over the last 2 years. We show our margins going back. The blue line is the total portfolio margin, and the green line is the new business margin, and we take you back to 2007 here, and you can see that for a period of time they were operating more or less in parity. This is when I would say that competition was at its peak in the marketplace, and people that were relying on capital markets in order to try and win transactions away from us were at its most crowded. And with the onset of the crisis, of the recession, the margin story has been a very positive one. We've been able to command more attractive rates with our end users while still remaining very competitive in the marketplace. The good news about this portfolio, we have about $115 billion worth of assets on our books. It cycles over a relatively swift period of time, 4 years. So as you can see here, between last year and this year, almost $50 billion worth of business from this lower margin era at an average book margin of about 2.5% is going to roll off, and it is being replaced by the business that we wrote in 2009 at an average of over 5.5%, and the business that we're writing this year is still very attractive margins. We ended the first quarter about 5%. So the overall portfolio lift has been very quick. We have generated over $1 billion worth of pre-tax income from this margin lift in the portfolio. And although rates have come down since the peak of the volatility this past year, they do appear to be that decrease has slowed. There seems to be signs of stability. I'm not sure where it'll go or how long it'll stay this high, but for the moment it appears to have stabilized. And as you can see, we have a long way to go before we be back down to the margins we experienced before. So this has been a bright spot for us. And by being focused and having this direct originations, we can adjust. We have very small share. Even though we're in a market-leading position, we still have very small share in the overall finance industry in the Americas. So we can be very selective about where we play and try and pinpoint those areas where margins remain attractive. The portfolio is a good story as well, clearly improving. I said that we believe losses have peaked. You've got the delinquency numbers up top for the equipment portfolio. That dropped in the first quarter of this year, peaked in 2009. We've seen several quarters of steady drop. I believe we'll have another quarter of improvement there as well. And we're well off the peak on non-earnings, which were $3.5 billion at the high point last year. We were down to 3.2 at the end of the first quarter, and we expect to see continued improvement in that category as well. As I mentioned, we've still got some pressure in transportation, construction, and media, although looking up. Credit costs have dropped to 1.3% as of the end of the first quarter. Likewise, we expect to see continued progress there. I mentioned we have 2,600 risk professionals. We're organized a little differently than some companies. We have about 100 people who do nothing but look at the existing portfolio account by account, whether it is delinquent or non-earning or paying, to try and get ahead of any problems. In our inventory finance business, we have more than 300 individuals who drive around to our dealers just to make sure that the inventory we have financed is there. So we do a lot of internal audit and our own restructuring and our own asset management. We have pared back the portfolio from some segments that we viewed as risky, those segments that were most tied to consumer appetite in our inventory finance business, or reduced our activity in segments that were not performing well. And in almost all of our dealer activity, we are relying on some level of support from our manufacturing partners. We generally do not go out to a dealer and just offer to finance any equipment. It would be a dealer that carries a specific brand or type of collateral associated with an agreement having repurchase rights by the manufacturer that we have negotiated with. Residuals, we have almost $7 billion worth of residuals. This is the value that we must obtain for the equipment that we have leased in order to come out whole and achieve our projected economics. So a lot of people ask us questions about this. 100% residual realization would mean that we got out whole. We achieved what we estimated we would. The reality, even though equipment values have dropped in the secondary market over the recession, we have a natural hedge built into this, which is when equipment values drop and clients come under pressure, they tend not to spend on new equipment, and so they keep the existing equipment longer and continue to pay rent, which we use to amortize down the residual value. So we've actually achieved very good economics. It's a source of additional profit for us. You can all the numbers are there on the left. It's a very manageable amount, and something we think we do very well. We have almost 400 individuals who do nothing but set asset values and dispose of equipment when it comes back to us. And I've highlighted on the upper right the top four collateral segments, which represent two-thirds of all our residual exposure, and you can see we're above water on all segments, some of them very well. So our residual portfolio is something that we think is very well managed and a source of strength. You put that all together, what we believe is we have a very focused, very profitable GE Capital at the macro level. Our funding is on plan. We have a very significant amount of cash on the balance sheet, which is a source of strength in times like this. The margins that we're originating at are very attractive, and we believe are going to stay very attractive relative to historical norms for some period of time. Delinquencies have stabilized. Losses have peaked. Our reserves are at near an all-time high, so we think we're well positioned as we go in the future. And our capital ratios are dramatically different than pre-cycle. So strong franchise. We'll continue to originate directly. We will not originate for off-balance sheet purposes, use those industrial skills, and stay in attractive markets, which is an attractive landscape due to the less dense competition than we have experienced previously. So those are my prepared remarks, Steve. I'd be happy to take questions from you or the audience.
Great. I'll start it off with just the incremental comments on competition. Who are you seeing out there? Who's pulled back? Obviously, you know, Textron competes in some of these areas. They're pulling back dramatically. Maybe you could talk about the competitive landscape and how that's changed over the last year and a half.
Well, almost all wholesale fincos have pulled back, which was probably our most direct head-to-head competition. And there are no players I can note that we go to head-to-head with today in that area. We do not see CIT where we play today. And so the landscape has shifted. I'd say regional banks remain, you know, we're very relationship oriented and we're mid-market, so a lot of our customers have relationships with their regional banks, and we compete against them successfully given our asset and industry expertise, and the nationals as well, but not really FinCos anymore.
Do you see the regional banks focused on much more on retaining existing relationships as opposed to going out and, you know, building their book of business and taking on new risk? And also, I'm just interested, maybe just from a macro perspective, what do you think, you know, has been, it might be hard to quantify, but the increase in the cost of capital for a small business to go out and make an investment that's a little more risky than just, you know, replacing mm-hmm. something that's worn out? I know on the business jet side, Textron has talked about, you know, an 8% interest rate with 30% down versus 2% and 10%
right.
down in the prior cycle. If you can quantify
sure.
that in any way, I think it's
no,
very interesting.
I'd be glad to. I have two different questions there. The first is, do we see the banking sector focused on their existing clients? Very much so. There is banks are keen to protect their client base, particularly if those clients have deposits, which is a cheap, almost free source of funding for them right now. So the ability to go in and displace a large national bank or a regional bank that was focused on retaining the customer is tough. But I would also say it was always tough. That's not really our target market
right.
To compete head-to-head against those banks, but very protective. And what I've seen overall in the banking sector is a circling the wagons around the existing client base, which is okay. That provides a landscape we can play in.
But they're not funding growth, so to speak.
Some are. We do see, but it's in segments. So we will see some national banks that have decided that they want to enter a particular market. They'll be aggressive, but it's very specific and very targeted. Relative to the cost of funding, there's really two worlds out there. There's the equipment world, and there's the lending world. And I would tell you that I think in the equipment world, small ticket lending has become more profitable. That's because the small players who relied solely on the capital markets have exited. So that's gone up a little bit. But generally speaking, the returns in the equipment world, because the assets are so hard, so foreclosable, and losses, as you mitigate through the cycle, are very predictable. Rates have stayed on the lower end of the increase. On the lending world, where you get into the cash flow lending, that's where rates have gone up more demonstrably for customers, so hence the reference to the Textron rates that you were talking about. Yes?
Yes, could you touch on non-performers and delinquencies in the commercial building arena? Where are you positioned presently, and how do you see this market evolving?
Your question is, I assume, we're on commercial real estate. I don't run that segment. I run the commercial lending and leasing segment for the Americas. We will take real estate as collateral on a transaction, but I'm not in the real estate business, so I'm afraid I have to defer on that. But I just referenced the comment overall, which is that Mike Neal, the vice chairman, made, which is we believe that the losses in the real estate book are manageable.
Are you currently paying dividends or returns to the parent company? Is G Credit paying out returns to the parent?
Not currently. I defer that question to the corporate leadership.
Thanks. I was interested in your macro comments, particularly, I guess, what's the history of commercial demand leading consumer demand in terms of coming out of cycles? And if we do get a double dip, what kind of contingency plans do you have in place, or how are you managing for that potential risk?
I think that's the big question is, you look at typically the coming out of recessions. I'm not an economist. Typically, the recovery has been led by the consumer. And we obviously have at this stage a recovery that is led by the commercial sector. So the big question is, will the consumer join that, or will it remain commercial for some period of time? You're better off asking an economist about that. I would tell you that the recovery as it exists right now, led on the commercial side for a commercial lending and leasing business, is a very navigable path where we think we can grow profitably. The second piece of your question was?
How you're thinking about the potential for a double dip, assuming this commercial demand may be inventory restocking or something else
right. That
the consumer
doesn't there's been a lot of speculation in the media lately about Europe's issues and will that contagion spread back to the U.S. I personally don't see a double dip occurring, particularly with our customer base. Our customer base is largely a domestic customer base in the Americas. Clearly, the global economy is intertwined, but most of our customers are Main Street, small, mid-ticket. They're selling in the United States to U.S. customers, or in Canada to Canadian customers, or in Mexico to Mexican customers. So I don't see Europe as it exists right now presenting significant issues for us. If there was a period of increased volatility or pressure, we would run the same play that we have been running for the last 2 years, which I think has performed very well and well above the industry averages.
Just wanted to clarify the CIT comment. Were you saying that they don't compete with you in your space, or because of their situation they've pulled back from competing with you?
I think that's a company that's currently undergoing some change. Several years ago, we would compete against them as well as other wholesale fincos on a lot of transactions. We do not see them in our core markets today.
While the mic's moving, I'll ask another question. The backlog of $26 billion, what you're seeing, is that share gain or is that market growth?
It's a combination of both, Steve. I think in most of our markets we are gaining share. It's a little difficult to come up with firm measurements right now because the numbers are kind of choppy. In equipment, particularly small equipment and dealer, I believe we are significantly gaining share as a lot of our competition has exited. And the leverage lending marketplace, I think we're at least holding our own and gaining share in some segments.
And where does that go over that $26 billion? Where do you think that goes over the next couple of quarters? Does it continue a steady march up, or is it pretty much at a level?
It's at an all-time high for us right now. I'd be pleased if it stayed at that level, but it has been increasing slightly over the last few weeks.
Okay.
two questions. One with the financial regulatory reform. Can you tell us how you think that's going to impact GE Capital? And then as GECC overall is shrinking from $650 billion down to $400 billion, how is that going to impact CLL Americas?
Okay. Let me take the second piece of your question first. We are what we call a green business or a growth business. So we're generating attractive margins and returns, and we're a component that the company sees as very desirable. So we've been told to grow, and we have no constraints on us right now. We're one of the pieces that I think over time we would like to see increase as a percentage of the total GE Capital as opposed to decrease. Relative to regulatory reform, you know, I think we can navigate anything that comes at us. We're a mid-market, small and mid-market leasing and lending company, so not really impacted by what is going to come out of Washington. Additionally, in my business unit, we have an industrial loan corp, a bank out in Utah that funds some of our activities. We've had that for several years and are accustomed to dealing with the FDIC on regulation, so I don't think it's going to change our day-to-day activities very much. At the macro level for GE Capital overall, I think we have to see what comes out of Washington and what the final legislation looks like, but I'll just echo Mike Neal's comments that we believe whatever that turns out to be will be navigable for our business model.
Can you talk a little bit about the relationship with GE and how many of your loans are financing sort of GE industrial products?
We far fewer than you would think. I don't know the specific number, but I believe less than 5%, perhaps well less than 5% of what we finance is GE product. So most of what we do is direct origination for our clients. What we have with General Electric is a great ability to bring the entire enterprise to bear for value prop differentiation with our client. So whether it's an initiative like ACFC, at the customer, for the customer, or Net Promoter Score, or the ability to invite our clients to our global research center to hear about emerging technologies, we have the ability to draw on the entire enterprise to differentiate ourselves in the marketplace. But most of what we do is not related to the actual revenues of the parent.
Just asking about the relationship with the FDIC, can you talk a little bit about how it's changed over the last couple of years, particularly with regards to reserving practices and how much more time they spend with you and that kind of thing?
Well, we probably know each other better than we have in the past going through this cycle. I defer that question to our corporate folks because they have most of the interaction. But I think what I would say is that we've gone through a period with the regulators in general of helping them understand our business model better than perhaps they did going into this cycle and getting them to be more familiar with how we operate, which we think is unique in financial services.
I guess specifically one of the issues is the way you reserve for collateral is very different from the way a lot of banks do.
Mm-hmm.
And do you get a lot of pushback, or do they kind of understand how you're thinking about things and they're very comfortable with it?
I wouldn't want to put words in people's mouths, but I think we've had a good dialogue going on with regulators, and they understand that we are different and that we're a good company. I just leave it at that.
Just one more question. You know, what are you have great contact with some of the, at the ground level, some of the, you know, people who are making the investments in equipment and at the ground level of the economy. What do you make of the disconnect between, you know, what CEOs are telling us at this conference, what the financial markets are saying? Are your customers at all, you know, in tune with that, or you know, what is their level of confidence in? Have you seen anybody, any kind of a pullback or a caution, level of caution increase?
Well, that's a great
customers?
Question to end on. Look, in general, what we are hearing is cautious optimism. And to the degree that anybody perceives a disconnect between our growth and what they're hearing in the market at large, I just reiterate that we play in very specific niches with a very focused origination effort. The capital expenditure, you need to maintain a level of spending to support your business. We have great share of wallet on that and great penetration. And loans mature, and they need to be paid, and they need to be refinanced. And so we have a large installed base and great relationships in that space. So, you know, general market growth, Steve, slow and steady, caution about the future, but positive momentum and trends.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.